Today's material is The Architecture of Viability, a dense interdisciplinary manuscript proposing a 7-part relational grammar for diagnosing and renewing complex systems across biological, social, and planetary scales. So let's just get right into the feedback and see how we can strengthen this material.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Yeah, so looking at the core premise, the text gives us these 7 primitives of viability, right? Constraint, margin, state, disturbance, perception, regulation, and options. But then it takes these 7 and closes them into 7 triads using the final plane, which is this strict finite projective geometry. And I mean, the mathematical elegance is undeniable, but I wonder if forcing messy organic biology and social dynamics into a strict projective geometry like that creates a conceptual straitjacket.
The strict adherence to the phonal plane geometry for the 7 triads introduces a structural rigidity that risks alienating practical readers and over-formalizing organic systems. The weakness is that the material insists on this perfect mathematical symmetry for the 7 primitives.
Right, claiming it's a minimal closure geometry where every single element has to participate in exactly 3 triads.
Exactly, and while that is mathematically fascinating, I mean, organic systems rarely possess this level of rigid symmetry, so it makes the framework feel artificially forced.
Yeah, and theoretically heavy for the policymakers or the clinicians it's actually aiming to help. I mean, it feels a bit like trying to map the sprawling growth of an ancient forest using only a protractor.
Right, it just doesn't fit the reality.
Well, that's my pushback, actually. Like, if we strip away the Fano plane, aren't we dumbing it down to just a loose list of variables? Doesn't the author need that level of precision?
I get that concern, but the suggestion here is to reframe the Fano plane as a conceptual heuristic rather than a literal geometric necessity. We need to visually and textually prioritize the functional relationships over the mathematical mapping.
Okay, so focus on the interplay rather than the strict math. What are some concrete examples of how to actually do that on the page?
Well, as just one possible way to solve this, for starters, move the formal Fano plane incidence tables and strict geometric closure rules out of Chapter 3. Just put them in the appendices.
Oh, wow. So wait, just take them out of the main text entirely.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, definitely keep them for the academics who want to, you know, verify the math. But within the main text, just visually present the 7 triads, like the response channel triad, for instance, as interconnected diagnostic loops.
Right. Or even just like overlapping Venn diagrams. It doesn't have to be rigid geometry. Focus purely on their practical interplay in the real world.
Okay, I see. Which makes total sense. It lowers the barrier to entry. But, you know, if the mathematical mapping distances the reader from the organic reality, the pacing of the manuscript really compounds this abstraction by keeping the practical applications locked away until the very end.
Oh, completely. It's a huge pacing hurdle. Like, we're asked to wade through 6 full chapters of teleodynamics, autopoiesis, and ontoaxiology before seeing a tangible human application. I mean, isn't there a risk that by the time the reader actually gets to the practical reality, they've just forgotten what actual life capacity looks like on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely.
It feels a bit like reading a massive blueprint of a hospital without ever actually seeing a patient.
The persistent delay in providing concrete grounded scenarios obscures the immediate diagnostic power of the viability grammar. The primary weakness here is that the text spends chapters 1 through 6 building this massive abstract theoretical architecture.
Right. Delving into, like, Deacon's causal absences and Maturana's languaging.
Yeah. And it relies heavily on really abstract analogies, like a bacterium swimming in a nutrient gradient. So the reader has to absorb hundreds of pages of dense metathery before seeing how this grammar actually diagnoses a real-world civilizational or ecological collapse.
Wait, but couldn't the author argue that they need to lay that philosophical foundation first? Like, you have to deeply understand the physics of a self-producing system before you try diagnosing something as messy as a city council.
Sure, I get that instinct. But the suggestion here is to invert the structural pacing by anchoring every theoretical primitive and triad to a singular, recurring, multi-scalar case study and introduce it right away in Chapter 1.
Oh, interesting. So bring the human scale in immediately. Do you have concrete examples of what that case study could look like?
Yeah, there are a few ways to tackle this, but as one example, you could drop the reader into a tangible scenario immediately, like a coastal community facing climate-driven ecological loss and economic extraction.
Right, giving us the actual town council, the dying fishery, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Give it a human face. So then, when you're discussing the concept of margin in Chapter 2, you don't just talk about it mathematically. You explicitly map it to this community's depleted mangrove buffers and their lost public trust.
Oh, I love that. So the physical margin and the social margin. And then later on?
Right. Later, when introducing absence as causal in Chapter 5, show how the absent storm protection wall directly causes institutional regulatory failure. You're grounding the abstract teleodynamics in the urgent physical reality of, you know, a hurricane hitting the town.
That is infinitely more readable. But, you know, looking at the text itself, even if we pull those coastal examples forward, the reader still has to parse the language used to describe them. I mean, we are asking the reader to simultaneously learn the vocabularies of 5 different academic traditions.
Yeah, it is a massive linguistic undertaking.
It feels like trying to build a house where the carpenters speak one language, the electricians speak another, and the architect insists they all learn a brand new synthetic grammar before anyone is allowed to pick up a hammer. I mean, can the core message of life value governance actually survive this linguistic weight?
The compound layering of esoteric terminologies from multiple disciplines creates a cognitive overload that dilutes the core message of life value governance. The main weakness is that the text rapidly stacks complex proprietary vocabularies.
Right, like Maturana's operational closure, Deakin's teleodynamics, McMurtry's ontoaxiology. It's a lot.
Exactly. And because the author treats each of these external theories as a load-bearing pillar, the manuscript reads more like a literature review of systems theory rather than a unified, accessible guide.
Yeah, it basically forces the reader to constantly stop, look up a term, and translate academic jargon just to find the core meaning.
Right. But the suggestion here is to subordinate the borrowed terminologies to the author's own clear proprietary voice. We need to translate the dense external philosophies into plain English principles that directly serve the viability grammar.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Doesn't the author want to honor the intellectual lineage of these ideas? Like, are we erasing the scholars if we strip away their terms and just use plain English?
That's a fair concern, but academic integrity doesn't mean sacrificing readability. As one out of many possible ways to approach this concretely, instead of titling chapters after specific theorists, like Chapter 5 being Terence Deakin and teleodynamics, retitle them based on the core viability action.
Oh, like calling it How Missing Elements Drive Living Systems?
Exactly. You still cite Deakin, obviously, but you relegate the deep philosophical lineage of things like ontoaxiology to the footnotes.
Right, so the academics can still trace the thought process down at the bottom of the page if they want to.
Yeah, exactly. And in the main text, simply use the author's highly effective intuitive phrase, life capacity, to explain what must be preserved. It keeps the focus on the practical application.
That makes total sense. You don't trip over life capacity. You just intuitively get what it means.
Right. And you take the profound insight, strip away the academic shell, and just present the practical core.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Let's wrap this up. So, to recap the main points of this critique, the material is a genuinely brilliant synthesis of systems theory and life value governance. But it can be strengthened significantly by softening the strict Fano plane geometry.
Right, making it functional rather than purely mathematical.
And by anchoring the abstract theory with a recurring real-world case study early on.
Yep.
And finally, by streamlining the heavy academic terminologies into the author's own accessible voice. So, to summarize the actionable suggestions for the listener to implement, move the geometric proofs to the appendix.
Yep, and introduce a human-scale ecological example right in Chapter 1 to carry through the entire text.
And translate that borrowed jargon into plain English principles. We highly encourage the listener to apply these structural and tonal shifts and submit their revised work back in again for more feedback.
Absolutely, we would really love to see how this evolves.
Until next time, keep building.